Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth. The rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
My recording's not. Here we go. Good morning, world. Maria Heller here, alive and kicking. How's everybody doing out there? I have a special show for you today with a special guest that I have a lot of respect for, and you're going to learn a lot in today's show. Let me tell you about my guest, Rick Simpson, if you don't already know. He's a retired power engineer. He worked for 25 years in the medical system in Canada. He suffered a severe head injury in 1997. He took all the medications that the doctors prescribed, but the side effects did nothing but hurt him. So in desperation, he looked to cannabis extracts, which he produced himself, and quickly found he discovered one of the greatest natural medicines on earth. He's got two great books out. One is called The Rick Simpson Story. The other is Nature's Answer for Cancer. If you get over to YouTube, I have a link here. You can see his movie, Run from the Cure. So I'm very happy to have Rick with me. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Maria. It's good to be with you, dear, and I hope we'll have a good show together.
Absolutely. And I just want the whole world is listening to know that Rick Simpson has absolutely zero connection, especially here in the United States, with any of the dispensaries or people selling what they call Rick Simpson oil. He's not involved in the business end of this. He has no control over what people name their oil after. He's just, like he says, an ordinary man trying to help people.
Well, I find it truly disturbing what's really is going on worldwide. There's so many people now using my name and that reference, you know, Rick Simpson oil. And, you know, it's so misleading to the public. But the truth is, I mean, I haven't been able to provide oil to anyone since 2009. Because for the last 6 years, I've just basically have just been traveling from country to country, you know, doing lectures and seminars, attending events and things of that nature, you know, to spread the word about the healing power of these extracts. But it's I've been at this now for over 12 years, more than 12 and a half now. And it's been, you know, quite an education, but I cannot believe that it's taken so long, you know, to wake the public up to such a simple truth. You know, you just look at the history of this plant, it's right before your eyes. You know, I mean, the greatest healers in history use this same plant with good effect to treat their patients. You know, and I honestly believe that Jesus Christ himself used the healing power of cannabis because it's an ingredient in the holy anointing oil. So but to see it used this way, you know, and manipulated and regulated, you know, for no reason other than greed. And that's what this is all about. It's just that, you know, cannabis is a huge threat to the pharmaceutical industry, the cotton industry, the energy providers, the big chemical companies. It's a big threat to their profit margins, but at the same time, when you look at today's world, I mean, we're killing this planet.
Exactly.
You know, all of these poison industries and, you know, Fukushima and the Gulf oil spill, you know, it's just ridiculous. And this is, you know, this poisoning of the planet is actually poisoning us too. And it's compromising our immune systems. And now so many people are becoming so sickly. And this is the reason why. You know, it's simply because we've been living the wrong way. You know, we have to get back to something that's sustainable, like cannabis. And we actually should be living in a hemp-based economy. You know, put the people back on the land, get them growing this plant and using it in every conceivable way. I think that we could wipe out unemployment. We could switch all these harmful industries we have today over into earth-friendly hemp-based industries. You know, it was very little effort. Uh-huh. So, you know, to me, it's like the only rational solution. And when you look at energy and things of that nature, I mean, this plant can basically it can supply all our energy needs.
Right.
You know, and without polluting the planet. You know, it's not going to raise the CO2 levels like fossil fuels do. You know, it's a rational solution to basically all our problems today, and practically everything we use in our day-to-day lives can be produced from durable, long-lasting hemp. So why aren't we doing this?
Well, you know, it's all about the profit margin. You know, I was reading through your book, The Rick Simpson Story, and it's kind of interesting because I said, wow, Rick's only 1 month older than me. So you and I have experienced the same errors, we can call it. Errors, it's spelled both ways, E-R-A and E-R-R-O-R.
Together, dear, we've watched the world go to hell.
Absolutely. Actually, I just started a new show called We Remember with another senior so we can compare now and then. But, you know, here in the United States, when you look at the suppression of hemp, when, you know, our Navy used to use hemp for rope and so many other things, it wasn't until the introduction of DuPont, when the DuPont rich elite family came along with their crappy nylon and products, all of a sudden hemp became useless because it's all about the profit margin. But as I agree with you, it has totally destroyed the earth.
Well, it's not just, you know, I mean, it's horrible the damage we've done to this planet, but when you look at, you know, what they've done to us, you know, when you look at the history of this plant, the medicinal use, it goes back, you know, like 5,000 years. Mm-hmm. You know, this is man's greatest medicine. But yet these governments, you know, through the urging of the rich elite who stand in the shadows that actually control our governments and just about everything else in our damn lives, you know, that they had our governments outlaw this plant. And no one has the right to do this. I mean, it says right in the Christian Bible itself that we are supposed to be allowed to use such plants, you know, to our best benefit.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy what we've allowed here. And, you know, when people understand, you know, how simple this truly all is, I mean, what I always tell people to do is to grow the heavy sedative indica strains, which are 20% or THC or more. I cannot give you an exact strain to grow because if you send to a seed company, you're never really sure what you're going to get. But this is what you should be looking for, a very sedative indica strain. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I would much prefer to see growers, you know, grow 4 to 6 different strains and mix the oils from these different strains or the extracts from these different strains together, because then you have what is literally a cure-all. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, some types of, well, practically all the sedative indica strains are very effective in the treatment of cancer. But then you have strains that are better at pain-killing. Some are just amazing that they are truly the greatest painkillers on earth. And no addiction. And, you know, some are better at lowering ocular pressure for glaucoma patients. Other strains are better for controlling blood sugar and maybe even eliminating diabetes altogether. So, but when you mix these different extracts, then you have a medicine or a medication that works on everything.
Right.
You know, and
right.
What I witnessed, I mean, I treated over 5,000 people and provided a great deal of this medicine for nothing. You know, and I seen the results. That these medications, you know, could achieve. And it's basically, you know, I've been fighting this battle for everyone's natural right, you know, to do this. Mm-hmm. If you want to grow a few cannabis plants, or I don't care if it's 10,000 cannabis plants, I couldn't care less. I mean, the more the better, I guess. But if you want to grow this for medicinal use and produce your own extracts, I mean, who has the right to stop you?
Hey, I agree.
It's your life. You know, I mean, nobody has the right to tell us what we must use as a medicine.
Well, the other part of it is, you know, and I talk to so many people and I've talked to so many young people that work at dispensaries here. You know, I'm in Arizona where medical marijuana is legal. And it's pretty impressive when I talk to them and they tell me that today there are over 25,000 different strains of cannabis.
Oh, yes.
You know, when I was a kid, listen,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
When I was a kid, we weren't worried about the medicinal purpose of cannabis. We were smoking it to have a good time. And I don't really see any problem with that either, okay? It's been proven time and again that it's much safer, you know, as a party drug or just to, if you want to get into a good meditation or spiritual connection, to smoke some pot instead of drinking alcohol. And yet alcohol is legal.
Well, this is what I've always said about it too, dear. I mean, I've always stated that, you know, cannabis is really a medicine that can be used with good effect recreationally, too.
Exactly. Because when people say, oh, but does the oil get you high? I'm worried about getting high. And I'm like, if you're going to smoke it, why not get high? What's the problem? Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're going to go, right? It's not like you're going to strap on a gun and go out and commit mass murder. You know, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to hit your refrigerator more often than you need to.
There's a report out there, or a series of these reports called the Corbett Report. James Corbett from Canada, episode 286 of the Corbett Report is called Rockefeller Medicine. If you watch that, it explains exactly the whole reason why we have this horrible medical system we have today. None of this is real. You know, it's all chemicals, poisons, radiation, chemotherapy. The medicine is really based on the Hippocratic Oath. And right there in that oath, it states openly, first do no harm. And it also states, as a doctor, I shall not administer poison. Mm-hmm. Now, look what these doctors of today are doing.
I know, I see it.
This is total insanity. I mean, there are branches of medicine, like the surgical end of medicine, I have great respect for. But as far as the pill pushers and the oncologists go, I have no respect for these people at all because, you know, especially oncologists, because from what I understand, you know, if they have cancer themselves, around 90% of them will not even take the treatments they provide to us.
Exactly. So, well, you know, you know about
that kind of tells you something, right, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it's the same with vaccines, but we don't need to go into that direction. But about a month or two ago here in the United States, several doctors were arrested for having diagnosed and treated people for cancer, knowing that they did not have cancer.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
So it's all about the money, you know. And right now I got a really good friend and co-host who went the medical route about 4 months ago, trusting doctors, trusting chemotherapy. And now he's basically in a coma, and I'm sure he'll be leaving the planet within the next few days. And I've watched so many people with cancer go through chemo and radiation with nothing but bad results. And when you suggest to them, oh, why don't you try cannabis oil? They look at you like you're, you know, a conspiracy freak or a crazy person.
Well, sadly, that's true because, I mean, most people have been brainwashed so badly by all of these propaganda and so many deceptions and lies we've been fed, you know, for the past few decades. It's just been, you know, since the 1930s particularly, you know, reefer madness and all of the stupidity. You know, this is nothing more than a pack of lies. None of it is based in reality, for God's sakes. And these laws or regulations we have in place and, you know, preventing us from growing this, none of this is based in reality either.
Of course
not. It's all based in corruption, for God's sake. So in reality, you know, under common law and I think under God's law itself, you know, growing cannabis is certainly not a crime, and it never has been. You know, this is what we have to wake up and realize. But those beliefs have been pounded into people's heads so deeply. You know, I was the same way. I honestly thought, I mean, years ago when I was about 20 years old, you know, all my friends began to smoke cannabis. You know, but me being much smarter than they were, I stuck with the good old alcohol. Mm. You know, and I honestly thought that these people were hurting themselves. You know, they'd smoke a joint and then they'd start coughing and then they'd go eat a bunch of food. You know,
right.
But I was the one that was waking up the next day sick, not them. You know, I should have caught on earlier, but I was like about 35 years old before I actually began to smoke cannabis. And, you know, I wish I'd now, and I look back on it, I wish I had started much younger. but I had no idea about the medicinal qualities this plant possessed. I was like most other people, you know, just smoking it to relax and feel better.
Right. But, well, I think, Rick, that we were all products of our programming, our morality, our parents, whatever we learned at the time. I think I was 17 when some of my friends started passing around a joint. And up till then, like you, you know, I was like terrified. But then I said, well, what the hell? Okay. And I got to tell you that it's been my I won't call it drug of choice because it's not a drug. But
medicine of choice,
partier of choice. But you know what? When they talk about people's memories and their intelligence level sinking because they smoke pot, well, you know, I've been smoking pot since I'm 17, and I'm the smartest person I know. No one has a better memory than I do. So I think this is all, you know, more propaganda to scare people away.
Oh, you're right. It's, all of this is propaganda. I mean, they've been talking all of this stuff about, oh, you know, well, we've got to take those people that have cannabis in their system off our highways because they present a danger.
But every test shows they're the better drivers.
Right.
The worst thing that happens is you're going to drive too slow.
Yeah, well, there's agencies out there now that represent the insurance companies that are telling the insurance companies that people who smoke cannabis should have lower insurance rates because they drive more carefully, just like you said.
Exactly.
So, cannabis is what people don't understand. This cannabis is not like alcohol or pharmaceuticals. It does not impair your motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, it heightens
You're more than safe to drive your car, but in the beginning, you know, like people who just smoke cannabis for the first few times, well, they're easy to pick out because they're the ones going down the highway at 10 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, but once you become accustomed to cannabis, you just drive the speed limits or possibly even a little slower. But you do drive more carefully, and no one knows better than me because, I mean, I drove motorcycles tens of thousands of miles, under the influence of cannabis, and I never had an accident. You know, and nothing will tell you more quickly than a motorcycle if you're impaired or not.
Exactly. So, well, Rick, I have a dream. You want to hear it?
Sure, dear.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Imagine if all world leaders smoked cannabis, how different the world would be.
Oh, you're so right. You know, and this is what I believe in, too. Is, you know, like a world without borders. You know, let people travel freely and intermix, and then we come to understand each other. You know, these stupid wars over religions, and, well, actually, you know, these wars are all manipulated anyway. Again, it's the big money that's causing them.
From
what I understand, for the last 200 years, the Rothschild family and other big banking concerns have funded every major conflict on this planet. And they didn't fund just one side. They funded both sides because they always make a profit.
Of course, you're talking about the infamous Rothschild family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so why are we suffering and dying and going to war and killing our fellow man so they can make more money? I mean, this is just plain stupid.
I know, but imagine if all world leaders smoked pot, chilled out, actually got, you know, think about the 60s, peace, love, and party down, dude. How often do you think a war would break out if everybody was on cannabis instead of, and you know they're all drinkers. All you got to do is look at them to see the violence in their eyes, and they always seem to have a drink in their hands. Here in America, you know, drinking is very romanticized, even on TV. You can barely watch a show where they're not pouring drinks and celebrating. So they are okay to encourage people for alcohol, but they still want to demonize what God created, okay? If you go back to the book of Genesis, I thought, unless I read it wrong for 29 years, it said, you know, from all the fruits of the plants and trees, partake. Well, cannabis was one of those plants.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, when you look at, like I said, the medical history alone, you know, like an Ayurvedic medicine.
Right.
Basically one of the oldest forms of medicine on the planet. I mean, that began back about 1,400 years before, you know, even the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the staples of Ayurvedic medicine has always been the cannabis plant. And
well,
it still is.
Of course. Well, 100 years ago, it was legal. It was prescribed in the United States. They you know, you went to a drugstore and you could buy a little bottle of cannabis or sativa, depending on what you needed, and it was legal.
Yeah, but the problem was, you see, in the 1800s and early 1900s, a lot of these companies like E.I. Lilly, Park Davis, Squibb, these companies we still have today, they were all producing cannabis-based medicines. But I've looked back through the history, and I've never been able to find any pharmaceutical company that ever provided the real essential oil from the plant itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was common practice in those days for those companies to produce essential oils from many different medicinal plants and herbs and sell them to the public as a medicine. So, you know, if you've got a plant like cannabis and with the medical history it had, I mean, they had to have made, you know, the extracts. They had to know. Mm-hmm. And I've said this right along, I think the pharmaceutical industry has known how to cure cancer for 150 years. But, you know, what it was in those days, the farmers everywhere were growing it freely. If the farmers found out they were growing the greatest medicines, you know, or greatest medication in the world right in their own backyards, the pharmaceutical industry would be out of business. You know, and then the 1880s came, and then they mixed their chemicals, started mixing their chemicals, and okay, if I mix two different substances, I can patent that.
Right.
You know, and then thanks to the Rockefellers, I mean, they fed this nonsense, you know, to the public, and well, basically the Rockefellers and their rich buddies, they took over, they started all these foundations, and then in turn, they took over the medical schools, and they shoved the old empirical approach, you know, healing from plants right out the back door.
Right.
Now, here's a new approach to medicine, you know, chemicals and poison. You know, so it just defies description what these people have got away with, and it's nothing but a horror story. And yet today, like you say, there's so many people that still believe this nonsense.
Right.
You know, when there's not a shred of truth in it, anybody that sits down at their computer and does some simple research will find out what we're telling them is exactly the truth.
Right, exactly. Wow, Rick, you sound like, you know, in reading your book, I was like, wow, it's going to be so easy to interview Rick because he knows all the same stuff I know. I say either that or he's been listening to my show. If anybody's listening to us and doesn't know what we're talking about when we talk about the bankers' wars, when we're talking about the Rockefellers, these laws passed, I've got 500 hours on my website. Feel free to come over, subscribe, total access. Okay, this is what I've been covering now for, I hate to say how many decades, Rick. I did want to ask you this, though. What do you think about, because I know you left Canada after being harassed and harangued, to say the least. What do you think about Justin Trudeau as soon as he gets in talking about legalizing cannabis?
Well, I think that's the reason he got in the first place. But it's all just smoke and mirrors. I mean, they're all the same thing. You know, they want to regulate it, and the Canadian government want to make as much money off of this as possible. They're all trying to use cannabis as a, you know, as a cash cow. And this is what's going on in the U.S. and over here in Europe, too. And it truly sickens me. You know, why does a company have any more right to produce this medication than we ourselves should have? You know,
exactly.
And this is what I've been fighting for, and you know, and today out there on the internet, it's like you said, there's so many people impersonating me. There's a Dr. Rick Simpson.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. You know, and there's a Rick Simpson Cancer Foundation. Well, Phoenix Tears is another, Phoenix Tears Foundation is another organization I am not connected with. And I'm not connected with any of these people, but they're all using my name to, you know, to bring in money or to bring in customers. And, you know, and I'm the one that gets the complaints. You know, almost every day, you know, I get emails from people, you know, I bought your oil.
Right.
It's not my oil. I didn't make it. If I had made it, I think it would have worked a whole lot better. But then, they realize that it doesn't have the effects that I described. And then, you know, then I have the unpleasant task of telling them that they've been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases now, another kind of a horror story is, I mean, I have the greatest respect in the world for, you know, for cannabis extracts. But there are strains, you know, or types of cannabis, like sativa strains, that I do not recommend for internal use if you're going to make extracts with it.
Right.
You can smoke a sativa. It's energizing. Sometimes the effects are quite pleasant. Or you can make an extract and use it externally, you know, for psoriasis or skin cancer, you know, third-degree burns, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ingest an extract made from a strong sativa, it will literally make you bounce off the walls. You know, it's so energizing. Some of these strains, it's just unbelievable. And I've talked to patients that tried to use these oils to treat their cancers and other illnesses, and they all told me the same thing. They said they felt like they were dying. It scared them that bad. I mean, they were trembling. It interrupted their sleep patterns. They couldn't sleep. You know, it's just a horror story.
Right.
But you see, that the sedative indicas, when you take a good oil from an indica, or an extract from an indica, about an hour, usually an hour or so after you take your dose, you just get this kind of a smile on your face, and then about 5 minutes later, you just lay down and you sleep like a log.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sleep and rest are part of the healing process, and this is what the indicas promote. So for God's sakes, you know, if the oil doesn't have the right effect, don't try to use it. You know, get an extract produced from indica, and better yet, grow it yourself and produce your own, and then you know what you have.
Okay, well, I have to ask you some questions, because when I told a lot of younger people that I was interviewing, they had a million questions for me to ask you. And let me tell you something. You are highly revered in any dispensary here in the state of Arizona. Okay, everybody knows your name. When I asked a few of them whether they carried Rick Simpson oil, they said, we have an oil based on what we know of his work, but we call it Cure Everything Oil. So some of them have made oils but are different. How do you know you're getting the right percent of the indica in the oil? Do you need to ask, like you said, 20% is THC? How do you know it's the right amount of indica for the oil to actually work? Because like you said, it's not like you can make the oil for everybody on the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, if you're producing an oil from or an extract from, you know, a good indica strain is 20% THC or more, you know, you're going to end up with a very high percentage of THC in the extract. And the extracts that I produce, they're always usually in the 90% range, you know, THC. And they would contain maybe 2%, up to maybe even 4% CBD. And then there'd be CBG and CBN and all these other cannabinoids. And, you know, it bothers me today that there's so much attention being paid to CBD. I don't say that CBD, it does have its medicinal benefits. There's no question. But, you know, so many people are running for the CBD to treat their cancers. Right. You know, and they're concentrating on CBD oil, and the CBD, you know, actually THC is basically, I look at it as being the major cancer, you know, killing element in these extracts. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the American Cancer Institute seems to agree with what I'm saying, because they just released a report more or less to that effect. So, you know, this is what people have to be aware of, you know, and, you know, I see these, you know, I like these children that are taking these high CBD oils, and it does, you know, children that have epileptic seizures, like 300 a week or something. Mm-hmm. There's no question. It reduces the number of seizures way, way down, the CBD oil alone. But unfortunately, from what I've seen in so many cases, these children, they still have a seizure even when they're on that oil at times. Mm-hmm. So I've always said, you know, add some THC to that oil. Right. And then let's see what happens. And I've experienced it over here. We treated a couple of children who were using CBD oils and still having, you know, the seizures, but then when we gave them the high THC oils, the seizures ceased altogether. And, you know, and this is not about getting kiddies high or anything. It's what people have to get out of their heads. There's no harm factor here. No addiction, no danger.
Right.
And I think, Melanie Driever, the lady that did that study back in the 1980s, I think she proved it more dramatically than anyone else. Because, I mean, she went in search of what country had the healthiest babies. And she finally ended up in Jamaica. And these babies are born to mothers who use cannabis a great deal. So if cannabis does not harm the baby in the developmental stages in the womb because of the mother's heavy use of it, then I don't see where it would present a danger to a child of any age, or anyone for that matter.
Right. You know, but here in the United States, if they pick up a pregnant woman with THC in her bloodstream, they have jailed a lot of women for that.
And she's doing nothing but good for the child. You know, this right. is the absurdity of this whole thing. None of this is based on real scientific evidence. It's just all based on propaganda and lies.
I totally, totally agree with you on that. I always tell people, if it's made in a plant, say no. If it comes from a plant, say yes.
Well, see, today, I mean, what's going on here? And I've seen this with the patients that I treated, you know, because so many of them came to me, you know, that, well, the vast majority did have cancer, but a lot of them had diabetes, chronic pain, you know, all types, and multiple sclerosis or even AIDS. And, you know, what I found was, you know, these oils were working on everything, mm-hmm. working amazingly well. And, but the main thing about it was that once you get on the oil, basically you do not require the use of pharmaceuticals at all. And I've had many patients that were taking 30 pills a day within a month, go off all of their medications. And at the end of the month, the only thing they were using was the hemp oil. Right. And, this is what the pharmaceutical industry is so afraid of, because if we all have the right to grow and produce this medicine ourselves, they're out of business. Because we don't need their chemicals and trash. We never did. And if we can put the pharmaceutical industry, you know, out of business, nothing would make me happier.
Hey, I totally agree.
I take Monsanto with them.
Oh, another one of my favorite companies. Rick, you're talking my language. I had a young man who works at a dispensary who makes the oil and they sell it in vials. And he asked me to ask you, what color is the oil supposed to be when it's ripe?
Well, it depends on the strain. It depends on the method you use to produce it. You know, there's many variables here. But, you know, like, I mean, I produced a lot of oil that was amber in color. You could see right through it. And it looked very much like honey. But other times, some strains would produce a darker oil. And, you know, just because an oil is darker in shade or in color, don't write it off as being non-medicinal. You know, some of the most powerful oils or, you know, powerfully medicinal oils that I ever produced were dark in nature.
Right.
So, you know, even the texture of the oils from strain to strain, some strains, well, they, you know, if the oil is made properly following our instructions, you end up with a substance that's similar to a thick grease. You know, sometimes it can be, the texture can be a little bit more slippery than another strain, mm-hmm. you know, would produce.
Right.
But in some of these resins, actually, once when they're warm, they are an oil. But when they come down to room temperature, then they do form this thick grease-like substance. And sometimes even certain strains will produce extracts that you have a hard time even squeezing from the syringe. Mm. You know, you might have to heat the syringe up in a little bit of hot water or something
right.
before you can even get your dosage out.
Right. Well, the ones I've seen look very tar-like. It's almost like tar in color and in substance.
Well, you know, a lot of the problem here, too, I see with these oil producers, you know, like any these growers growers for decades. I mean, the name of the game was to produce the bud and sell it. That's what the cash crop was. You know, and then they would take the leaves and small bud and whatever else and throw it all into a pot and make oil out of it, usually mm-hmm. low-grade trash.
Right.
You see, the dealers and growers, they don't want to sacrifice the bud. But the bud is really where the magic is. That's where most of the medicinal cannabinoids, that's what contains the most medicinal cannabinoids. There are cannabinoids on the other parts of the plants, like the leaves and things. But when you produce an oil, you know, from leaves, it's usually much darker in color. There's more chlorophyll in it. It tastes, it doesn't have, like a lot of the oils I produce had hardly any taste at all.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's something else that varies from strain to strain.
Right.
But you know, it's just the simplicity of all of this. And this is what they can't defeat. You know, if anybody, well, cannabis is a weed to begin with. So if you get a decent hardy strain, just about anybody can grow it. And producing the medicine is if you follow the instructions, once you do it once or twice, it's just no harder than making a cup of coffee. And I always, I hope that beginners will try to use a rice cooker if possible, because one of those open top rice cookers, that they are probably for a beginner the best way to make this oil, because there is no danger of burning, you know, the oil or bringing the heat up to a high enough level that the cannabinoids would vaporize off. Rice cookers just don't do that. You know, when they get to a certain temperature, they automatically kick themselves back onto the low heat setting, so there is no danger of ruining the oil.
Right.
So that's what I recommend for beginners. But there are much better ways, you know, distilling devices. And, and actually now I have ways that, you know, you can produce the oil using no solvents at all, if that's what you wish to do. The instructions are up there on my website. It's not listed under the right thing. I think it's listed under... What the oil does or how it does it or something, but actually it's a big section that I wrote called Super Oils, and it explains how you can manufacture, you know, some simple machinery to produce these extracts yourself, and they are so medicinally active that it's truly just beyond belief. It's the healing power of these substances mm-hmm. and the purity of them. You know, even the pharmaceutical industry could not produce this medicine in a purer fashion.
Right. And I want to give out your website. It's phoenixtears.ca. And I have a live link here, so you can just click through and you'll be on his real website. Okay. There's a lot of people out there that want to pretend they're him and take advantage of you. So you have to pay attention. Rick, I had another young woman ask me, because she did buy the oil, mm-hmm. what's the proper way to take it? Some people say you should take a drop half the size of a grain of rice. Some other people say you should be taking a whole vial like a day, which I think is crazy. I would think you'd be hallucinating.
You'd be sleeping for a long time.
Right.
I mean, you know, the dosage instructions are right there on the phoenixtears.ca website. And, you know, what I tell people, like, if you've seen a piece of short grain dry rice, it's about a quarter of an inch long. I like to see people start with about half of that amount. You just squeeze this little tiny speck out, you know, onto your finger, and then scrape it off of your teeth and take a cold drink of water and then, use your tongue to flip it off your teeth and swallow it. And you do this three times a day, early in the morning, mid-afternoon, and about an hour before bed. And you take that same dosage for 4 days. And then at the end of 4 days, you try to double the dosage. And so every 4 days, you keep doing this.
Uh-huh.
And what happens, I've had many patients that actually took this medication that way, and they said that they didn't even feel that they became high.
Right.
You know, but I mean, some people's tolerance, we all have different tolerances for all medications.
Right.
So some people will become high, but, you know, what's the harm? There's no danger. All it's going to do is make you sleep longer. So, you know, there's no harm factor here at all.
Right. So you say to double it every 4 days, but up to what limit? Up to where you're taking how much a day is like a standard dose?
Well, yeah, usually within usually 4 weeks or so, or even 5 weeks in some cases, you know, usually the patient can get up to the dosage of 1/3 of a gram or 1/3 of a mil every 8 hours. And that's the dosage I'd like to see them at, you know, because, I mean, what you're doing, you're flooding your system with cannabinoids. And you've got to get enough cannabinoids in your system to beat the cancer back. Now, I mean, I've had patients that actually took the whole 60 milligram treatment in 30 days and cured their terminal cancers. But I've had other patients, I had another one, he was 7 months getting his 60 grams into him, but it still cured his terminal cancer. But I, you know, I always like to see people, you know, take this treatment within 90 days if possible. And I've seen some people that were able to take 2 grams a day and even more. And, you know, and still, like, you know, the amazing thing with this, you know, everybody thinks, you know, if I start taking this, I'm going to be high, everybody's going to know. And I've had so many terminal cancer patients come to me and, you know, they build up their tolerance for the first month and then they go back to work. And
right.
When they go back to work, the people they're working with, they don't even know they're taking it.
Right.
You can't tell anymore. You know, they just look normal. So, you know, it's not going to keep you high forever. The only time that you would get a jolt would be if you were taking one type of oil. Or say you took 20 grams of one type of oil,
mm-hmm.
and then you went out and got another type of oil.
Right.
The minute you start taking, see, you've already built up a tolerance to the first type, but you haven't built up your tolerance to the second type.
All right.
So if you have to switch oils, be aware of this fact and drop your dosage back a bit anyway before you try to start taking this new type of oil,
mm-hmm.
because you don't have a tolerance for it.
Right.
And that's the reason I like to see the patients. You know, take the treatment, you know, from just one type of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then they build up their tolerance, and usually there's no problem.
Right. So what is your view on smoking it versus vaporizing it?
Well, I mean, we all know now that people that even smoke cannabis have I think it's around a 60% less chance of getting lung cancer and things of that nature. And there's no question, you know, in some cases... For diabetics, it can help lower their blood sugar, or even for glaucoma patients. You know, smoking does have its medicinal benefits.
Right.
But it is the least medicinal way, you know, to use this plant. If you want to see the real miracles that this, medical miracles that this plant can perform, then you'll find it in the extracts that you can produce from the plant itself. You know, the healing powers here are just so magnificent in so many different ways, like, you know, third degree burns. Healing in no time, with no scarring.
Right.
You know, I mean, unbelievable. When you look at what the medical system put people in burn units through,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nothing but a horror story.
Right.
And I know this myself because I had a severe third-degree burn to my right hand, and it healed completely in 11 days. And there's not a scar on the hand anywhere, and even the hair follicles all grew back.
Right.
So if you want to treat somebody with something like a severe burn, this is the way to do it.
Right.
And it's painless. That's the other beauty of it. You put this oil on a third degree burn, and that pain just goes away in no time.
Didn't you also use it for skin cancer?
Oh, yes, yes. I treated my own cancer with it very successfully. I mean, I found the whole thing to be very shocking, actually. You know, I went through the medical system, you know, from the effects of my injury. I took all their medications, and it, like you said, it made me nothing but worse. Matter of fact, in late 2001, when they cut me loose, my thinking processes were so bad from the effects of these chemicals that I could hardly even remember my own name. Now, this is what it does to you.
Hmm.
But about a year later, I went back to the doctor, and he checked these three areas that I'd had, you know, since the 1990s. They were open lesions that wouldn't heal. And I always suspected they were skin cancer anyway, but, I went in and I had the first one surgically removed. And then about a week after the surgery, I was examining the area where they had operated. And that's when a report I had heard like 30 years before. I heard the report from the Medical School of Virginia study. Mm-hmm. You know, and it said THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been found to kill cancer cells. And by the way, I hate that word marijuana. We should call it cannabis.
I've been trying to use cannabis through the whole show. Or pot. Pot is just so much. It's two syllables less. I think at this point, well, people also have to realize the word marijuana was a racist, another racist ploy to slam the Mexicans coming into the United States years ago. You know, they were the demons bringing in this terrible marijuana plant, even though it was cannabis.
Okay.
You know, there's so much history that people don't know, but I wanted to ask you, since we're both the same age, don't you remember when we were kids, Rick? Cancer was something you never heard about. Maybe one person in a million had it. And everybody had the reaction of like you would have if you found out you had AIDS today. You know, it was a whispered about disease. No one even wanted to talk about it.
Well, I mean, my cousin, I was just 2 weeks shy of my 23rd birthday when my cousin died from cancer. I watched him die a horrible death. He went from 200 pounds down to 50 pounds. And at that time, now I was almost 23 years old. At that time, he was the first person I ever knew that had this disease, and he's the first person I ever knew that died from it. Hmm. You know, so it's just like you said, there's so many of these diseases, you know, like Crohn's. You never heard of Crohn's disease. You know, cancer was a rarity back then. But anyway, when after I thought about that report, you know, I heard, and I was sitting there looking at the area they had operated on, you know, next to my eye or close to my right eye. And I just thought to myself, you know, if this actually was true, the medical system would be using it. I mean, they've been telling us for decades, you know, we're trying to find a cure for cancer and we're trying to find preventative medicine. You know, well, here it is. But yet, the authorities don't want this.
Right.
But anyway, I really didn't think it would work, but I just thought, well, I had the oil reef there. I had been ingesting it for a year at that point in, you know, small doses. And I just thought, well, it's not going to do anything because if there was any truth in this, then why do I still have cancer? So I went down to the bathroom. I put the oil, just a drop of oil, on each of the other cancers, put a bandage on. 4 days later, when I removed the bandages, they were completely healed. And then 7 weeks later, the one they had surgically removed, it came right back. I put a drop of oil on it, a bandage, and removed that 4 days later. Now, that's 12 and a half years ago. I've never had to retreat these areas, you know, not ever. And my pathology report, I got a copy of my pathology report, which stated I had basal cell carcinoma. And I tried to talk to the doctor, but they would have nothing to do with me. And then on the way home that day, when I was driving my vehicle home, I kept thinking, you know, if I was a small town doctor and one of my patients had cured their cancer naturally with, you know, right, with extracts from a plant, I think I'd want to know about it. So then it was at about that point that I actually began to sense that, you know, that the whole system is just nothing but corruption. And since that time, that is exactly what I've proven.
Well, yeah, big pharmaceutical doesn't want a cure. They want repeat customers. Yeah, that's the way it is. And, you know, when I watched your movie, Run From the Cure, I posted it everywhere on social media and told people that they really needed to see it. Because if you're going to keep trusting your doctors, I got to tell you, the only thing I trust the medical industry to do is kill us all.
Yeah, I agree with you, dear. You know, and they try to send a message to the public, you know, that people that smoke cannabis are non-productive, you know, and if your children smoke it, they'll end up living in your basement for the rest of their lives. You know, this is just another pack of lies.
Right.
I mean, I've known people, you know, through my life that have smoked cannabis now for, you know, over 40 years. And they're some of the most productive citizens, you know, in any country. That, too, is nothing but lies. And it's like you said, too. I mean, if this plant presented some problem with your memory, you know, and I've been ingesting these extracts, you know, these powerful extracts since 2001. I don't think there's anything wrong with my thinking abilities, and I don't think there's anything wrong with yours.
Absolutely. People constantly say to me, Maria, I heard you running down the news today, and how do you remember all this stuff? Okay. I mean, you know, years ago, I had Dr. Jean Shinola Bolin on the show. She's a very well-known psychiatrist, spiritual teacher. She's a fabulous lady. And she had written a book. I don't remember the name of it right now. But she made the point, and she was well in her 70s at the time, that the reason the government doesn't want cannabis to be legal is because it opens up our minds and makes us think and makes us more spiritual, and they don't want that.
Yeah, it makes people question, you know, what makes it, it gives you the time to kind of just sit and question what's really going on in our world. Mm-hmm. And this causes a lot of people to wake up, and governments do not want that. They want us, you know, they want to keep us in this damn zombie days we've been in. And, but this has got to come to an end, you know, like, I said, you know, if there's going to be a future for our children and our grandchildren, we have to unite as one now and stand together and just tell these governments openly, we've had enough of these, all of this nonsense. You know, I what I want, and I think what most people want now, is total repeal of these absurd laws worldwide.
Absolutely.
Let people everywhere use this. These laws were never real to begin with. They belong in a trash can, so repeal them.
Well, we have so many people rotting in prisons for, you know, 15, 20 years for pot bust in this country. So to me, it's not enough to decriminalize it or legalize it. They also need to release everybody that's in prison for basically, there is no crime. So I'm not even going to call it a victimless crime. I think it's just moral judgment by the most immoral amongst us.
You're more than right, dear. And it's, you know, it's just like Jack Herer himself always said, you know, plant the cannabis plant everywhere and use it in every conceivable way. It can solve almost all of the problems we currently face, and it's the only rational solution, you know, for us to gain better health and to save our precious planet.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, people have to wake up to this, and it is our responsibility. This is our watch, and if we don't get together and unite and do something about this and bring about these changes, then who's going to? We already know that our politicians aren't, so it's now up to the people themselves.
I agree. You know, some scientists have recommended, especially around Fukushima, that they immediately start planting hemp around there.
Detoxifies the soil.
But, of course, nobody wants to pay attention to that because I don't believe Fukushima happened the way that happened either, but that's a story for another day. Rick, we have a couple of minutes left. I just wanted to ask you, hemp oil, hemp seed oil, why do people think they're the same thing?
Well, it's simply because the hemp seed oil companies mislabel their product. You know, I've had this argument with some of these. Matter of fact, five of these companies got together and emailed me one time and told me I was the worst thing that ever happened to the movement. You know, they were all mad because I used the term hemp oil. But farmers all through history called this plant hemp. Mm-hmm. So when I started producing these extracts, I just called it hemp oil. You know, if you look at, you know, hemp seed oil, I have great respect for hemp seed oil. It doesn't have the healing cannabinoids, but it does have benefits, you know, of its own.
Right.
And it's one of the most nutritional things on earth. But, you know, if you look at the back label, it says right on it, cold-pressed hemp seed oil. All they have to do is add the word seed, hemp seed oil, because that's what they're selling. What I'm producing is the essential oil produced from the buds of the plant itself.
Right, so it's a big difference. Can you use the oil for animals? Okay, there are a lot of animals that get sick too.
All animal life, we all have this wonderful endocannabinoid system. So basically, you know, all life on this planet is designed to use this plant as a medication. You know, like dogs, cats, horses, it doesn't matter. And I love working with animals because their response is so much more quicker, you know, than a human's. You know, their metabolisms are so much faster. And in many cases with dogs, you can literally see them healing. But, you know, people worry all the time. You know, they say, well, how much do I give? How much oil should I give to a 10-pound dog? You know, and with me, it's like, who cares? The dog don't mind the effects of, you know, being high. They'll just go sleep.
Right.
You know, and this is the way humans should look at it, too. You know, you cannot overdose and die from the use of this medication. It's not possible. It's not like pharmaceuticals. It's the safest medication on the planet. And for God's sakes, you know, I'm just asking the public to wake up, you know, and finally stand on their own, you know, 2 feet. You know, take responsibility for your own destiny. It's time, because no one's going to do it for us.
Well, Rick, I want to thank you so very much for all your work, for being the person you are, for being so aware on so many levels, and of course for joining me on my show today.
Well, it's been a pleasure being with you, dear, and I hope we got the message out to a lot of
I'm sure we did.
People today.
I'm sure we did. Well, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Okay then, dear.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.